Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Our sermon text this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has, and he buys that field. Today I want to talk to you about commitment. Commitment means to show a loyalty, a duty, an obligation, a pledge, or a word of honor to something or to someone. In our text, one of Jesus' parables, that man showed a commitment to that treasure. If you recall in past teachings about parables, we know that Jesus likes to teach with parables. We also know that a parable makes you think. Let me add what else a parable does. Sometimes a parable leaves you with sufficient doubt about its meaning, just enough to tease the mind into active thought. The truth is not always apparent with the parables. With parables, we are drawn into the story. Our mind is forced into gear. We have to think. And we're forced to make a decision. And these parables challenge us. What would we have done? What should we have done? What makes us comfortable? What makes us uncomfortable? Which character can we relate to in that story? More specifically, who are we in that story? Have you ever read a Bible verse and it has a particular meaning to you on a certain day that you read it, and then you read that same Bible verse another time somewhere down the road and it has an entirely different meaning for you? For example, take the parable of the Good Samaritan. We can read the parable of the Good Samaritan and one day we feel like we're the victim of the crime lying on the side of the road. Another day, we could be the priest who's hurrying by that person on the side of the road, too busy to help. And then there's days that we are that Samaritan and we stop to help, showing the love of Jesus. Our sermon text today is one of Jesus' shortest parables. In Matthew 13, Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. And he's going through a whole list of comparisons. The kingdom of heaven is like this. And it's like this, and like this. We're going to capture where he compares the kingdom of heaven to something. This parable, like all of his parables, will bring us to a decision. It will be a decision of commitment. You will have to ask yourself, what is it worth to you? The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So here's this guy who's walking through a field. We don't really know why he's walking through the field, but he finds a treasure that he does not own. And instead of stealing the treasure, he puts it back and he covers it up. So he sells everything he has. Could be house, could be land, could be animals, we don't know. But he sells it and he goes to purchase this land that he doesn't own, because he wants the treasure that is hidden there. It was that important to him. And remember, he does it with joy. Our sermon text says he does it with joy. No apprehension, no anxiety, no nervousness, all joy. Happy to do it. Nothing is more important to him. You know, back then it was hard to find safe places to hide your valuables. There were no banks with vaults, no safety deposit boxes. The people often buried their valuables in the ground, in the fields, hoping that no one would find them. For example, when enemies invaded, the Israelites buried their possessions before they would flee. And they hoped that someday they'd be able to come back and recover their possessions. You know, back in those days, it wasn't finders keepers, losers weepers. During the time of Jesus, the law of the land was that the hidden treasure belonged to the finder only if he owned that land. In this parable, the man who found the treasure was willing to give up everything he had to own that treasure. So at the end of the day, he's left with nothing but the treasure. He's given up everything he has for the treasure. It's important that we understand this. The man in the parable sold all that he had to buy the treasure, to own the treasure. Think about the commitment. He did everything necessary to get that treasure. What Jesus is telling us is that eternal salvation, a life in heaven, is that treasure. The question is, do you want that treasure? Do you want that treasure? There's only one way to get that treasure. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Folks, the lesson here is that the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is so valuable that losing everything on earth but getting to the kingdom is a joyous trade-off. You know, as a believer, you think about the rubbish that you walked away from when you gave your life to Christ. Clean living. Clean living. Aren't we better off today than we were back then? Amen?
Amen.
I know I am. Having that all-powerful saving reign of Jesus Christ in our lives is so valuable that if we lose everything, in order to have it, it's a joyous sacrifice. The Apostle Paul expresses this very same thing in chapter 3, verse 8. He says, yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. You know, in the parable, the man sells everything that he has so he can have the kingdom. In Philippians 3:8, Paul suffers the loss of all things so that he may gain Christ. I think those are virtual, identical identities and realities. So here, the point here in Matthew 13 and Philippians 3 is that the people who receive the kingdom treasure it more than everything else. The point of selling everything in this parable is simply to show where your heart is, where your commitment is. Matthew 6 verse 21 tells us, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And if your heart is to have all things, to have the kingdom above all things, then Luke 12:32 comes true. It says, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Did you get that last part? To give you the kingdom. God wants to give you the kingdom. But you need to obtain the treasure. You need the treasure. Jesus is the treasure. That's God's gift to you. Jesus is God's gift to you. But a gift isn't a gift unless it's offered and accepted. That's what makes a gift a gift. That's God's will. Question is, have you accepted Jesus? Are you committed to Jesus, the treasure? Jesus is the only way to God, our Heavenly Father. Remember this, according to the will of the Father, whoever takes the Son gets it all. If you recall, I mentioned that parables can have different meanings on different days. Could mean one thing to you today, could mean another thing for you tomorrow. I want to share a different view about this parable for you to think about. So we have the field, the treasure, and the man. In the second interpretation, we're going to change the roles a little bit. I want you to think about this. So the field, like before, is the world. It's the earth. The treasure, this time, is us. You and me. The man who wants that treasure is Jesus. Think about this. We know that the man gives up everything that matters to him because he's committed to having the treasure. He is committed to the joy that the treasure can bring him. If you remember our earlier definition of commitment, he shows loyalty to that treasure. He shows a duty to that treasure. And he makes a pledge to get that treasure. He sells everything he has, everything that makes him who he is today, because he's committed to making the treasure his and his alone. So consider the man in the parable is Jesus. And Jesus searches the world and he finds us, his treasure. According to the law, he has to pay for the field before he can get that treasure. That's the law. And the only way he can do that is by giving up everything he has to buy that land. But Jesus doesn't have the material things that the man had in the earlier description. Jesus has something far more valuable that he sells. Jesus Christ gives up his deity. The Bible tells us that Christ, according to the flesh, is God. Romans 9:5 tells us, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all the eternally blessed God. Even though Jesus was equal with God, he didn't look at it that way. He gave it up for us. Chapter 2, verse 6, 8, Paul writes this about Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Paul affirms that Jesus is fully God. Knowing what we know about Jesus, he gives up his deity for us. He was so committed to us, his treasure, that he was willing to walk away from the status and privilege of being the very nature of God. That was true commitment. In order to buy the land, to save the treasure, Jesus emptied himself. For us to be God's treasure, Jesus had to die. Jesus gives up his deity by laying aside his glory. He humbled himself all because he was committed to us, to you and to me. And he was being obedient to his Father. Now we need to remember that his obedience and his commitment led him to a knowing death. Jesus knew what was coming. He was committed to it. He was committed to die for us, to pay the price. That cost didn't matter to him. It didn't matter to him. He was focused on us. He wasn't focused on a price tag. He was focused on us, the treasure. Our value as a treasure was all that Jesus was focused on. Commitment. Aren't we supposed to be like Jesus? We learn so much from the Word of God. We learn so much from reading the Bible about what Jesus is like and how we should be. From studying his life, his walk, his ministry. You know, we learn about the fruit in the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. We learn in all situations that we are supposed to show love, show joy, peace, kindness, goodness. We learn from him about faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And most importantly, we learn in this parable about commitment. About true commitment that Jesus had for his Father and for us, his treasure. Jesus was, is, and always will be committed to you. I ask again to those who are believers, are you committed to Him? Are you sold out to Jesus Christ? Ask yourself that. I'm reminded of 1 John 4:19. We love Him because He first loved us. And to those who don't really know Him, don't have that personal relationship with Him, that treasure can be yours. God has the gift of Jesus for you. But you have to accept Him. 1 John 2:23 says, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. The question we have to ask ourselves, especially if you're a non-believer, do you want to go to heaven? Do you want everlasting life? Jesus is the only way. The only way. That's the treasure that you want. Jesus. I want to close with an illustration. Many years ago, there was a very wealthy man who shared a passion for art collecting with his son. And they had priceless works by Picasso and Van Gogh adorning the walls of their family estate. As wintertime approached, war engulfed the nation, and the young man left his father to serve his country. After only a short few weeks, his father received a telegram. His son had died. Distraught and lonely, the old man faced the upcoming Christmas holidays with anguish and sadness. The joy of the season had vanished with the death of his son. On Christmas morning, a knock on the door awakened the depressed old man. As he walked to the door, the masterpieces of art on the walls only reminded him that his son was not coming home. As he opened the door, he was greeted by a soldier with a large package in his hands who said, "I was a friend of your son. I was the one he was rescuing when he died. May I come in for a few moments? I have something to show you." The soldier mentioned that he was an artist, and he gave the old man the package. The paper gave way to reveal a portrait of the man's son. Though the world would never consider it the work of a genius, the painting featured the young man's face in striking detail. Overcome with emotion, the man hung the portrait over the fireplace, pushing aside millions of dollars worth of art. His task was now complete. The old man sat in his chair and he spent Christmas gazing at the gift he had been given. The painting of his son soon became his most prized possession, far eclipsing any interest in the pieces of art for which museums around the world would die for. The following spring, the old man died. The art world waited with anticipation for the upcoming auction. According to the will of the old man, all of the art would be auctioned on Christmas Day, the day he received his greatest gift. The day soon arrived, and art collectors from around the world gathered to bid on some of the world's most spectacular paintings. Dreams would be fulfilled that day. The auction began with a painting that wasn't on anyone's museum list. It was the painting of the old man's son. The auctioneer asked for an opening bid, but the room was silent. "Who will open the bidding with $100? No one spoke. Finally, someone said, "Who cares about that painting? It's just a picture of his son. Let's move on to the good stuff." The auctioneer responded, "No, we have to sell this one first. Now, who will take the son?" Finally, a neighbor of the old man's spoke up and offered $10. He said, "That's all I have. I knew the boy, so I'd like to have it." The auctioneer said, "Going once, going twice, gone." The gavel fell. Cheers filled the room, and someone exclaimed, "Now we can bid on the real treasures." The auctioneer looked at the room filled with people, and he announced that the auction was over. Everyone was stunned. Someone spoke up and said, "What do you mean it's over? We didn't come here for a painting of someone's son. There were millions of dollars worth of art here. What's going on?" The auctioneer replied, "It's very simple. According to the will of the Father, whoever takes the son gets it all." Puts things into perspective, doesn't it? Spiritually speaking, it's the exact same thing. According to the will of God, our Father, whoever takes the Son, Jesus, takes it all. We are a treasure to Jesus. Is Jesus that treasure to you? Let's pray. Oh Lord God, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the commitment that you have to us, for calling us your children. Lord, I especially pray for those who may be here today or hear this word, Lord God, and they may not be especially close to you yet, Lord God. I pray you touch their heart. I pray the Spirit moves them. I pray they make that commitment, Lord God, to have Jesus as their treasure. Lord, I pray that we carry this forward with us. We continue to be good stewards with the gift and the treasure that you have given us. And that is your Son, Jesus. That we may tell others about him, how he changed our lives, and how he can change their lives. Lord, we just thank you so much. And it's in your Son, Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. At this time, let us offer each other the sign of peace, followed by a communion celebration.